This is podtech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. Demo 2006 is dubbed the launchpad for emerging technology. Day one, Monday. After registering and getting oriented at the Point South Mountain Resort in Phoenix, Arizona, people from presenting companies with new products, venture capitalists, technology experts, journalists, and even podcasters kicked off the conference with a little get-acquainted party outside on a warm desert night.
My name's Alex Saunders, and I'm the CEO of IOTM.
What does IOTM do?
Well, our slogan says, we bring relevance to communications. What we do is we use the idea of relevance, which is pertinence to the task at hand, to filter calls based on what it is that you're actually doing. So we know who's trying to reach you, what your relationship is with that person, what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where you're doing it, and whether it's appropriate for you to take a call at that point in time from that person. So you couldn't have done this 5 years ago because it requires being able to face both the voice net and the internet. But the software sits in the center. It's hosted in the network. It looks at what the calls are that are coming in. So it's hooked into a carrier network somehow. And on the other side, it looks at clues about what it is that you're currently doing. Things that suggest the context that you might find yourself in. So it looks at your calendar. It looks at instant messaging. It looks at social networks. It looks at your contact database. It knows things about the time of day. It knows that you have an appointment with Jim later in the day, and when Jim is phoning, it's probably to change the appointment, so you might want to let that call through. It makes those assessments continuously in real time and routes the calls appropriately, either to voicemail or to you or to maybe to an assistant, someone else to handle it, or maybe even in some cases to a rejection message, say it's of a telemarketer or something like that, right?
Stephen Randall of Locomoda.
Locomoda.
Tell me what Locomoda does.
We have proprietary interactive out-of-home networks. So what does that mean? We turn a phone into a remote control. We're talking about the web outside on Wednesday morning. So we believe a lot of the power of the web will be transformed to out-of-home places. So a lot of retail spaces now have screens. We believe that a lot of those screens are going to want to be controlled by consumers. In much the same way as when you come home, you don't want to just be fed information on the TV. You want to watch Seinfeld when you want to watch it. Well, now there's consumers want information wherever they are, whenever they, when they want it. So if you're walking past a real estate agency, for example, and right now you see photographs of a house, maybe the agency is closed, so you can't interact with it. With our technology, they'd have a screen in the window and showing houses. If you're interested, you can phone up the screen. And our software works with any phone, doesn't need any downloadable software. So you can phone up the screen, and then that controls the proxy gateway on the web, which then controls that screen. So then you can browse houses using your phone like a remote control, leave a message for the realtor, so they get this 24/7 interaction. And there's lots of vertical markets, not just real estate. But we've got realtor customers.
Why don't you tell me your name and what your company does?
Jin Zin with LogLogic. Basically, LogLogic creates an infrastructure that allows you to capture all the infrastructure data you have. Normally, they appear as log data, log files, and whatnot. And we basically allow you to slice and dice through the data. So we're kind of like the Google of log data, if you can think of it that way, Google or Yahoo.
Explain what log data actually is.
So, log data, so you use a server or a machine at home, right? Everything you do, opening a file, logging into a system, everything you do is in the log. So if you log into your server, it gets a piece of log. If you exit the server, it gets a piece of log. You go through the website, you go to some website, there's multiple pieces of log data created. So basically it tracks all the user activities, your web surfing activities and whatnot. And we combine all that data into one, and we analyze it, and we show you, okay, if you want to find out what me, Jim, is doing on the network, where it's gone to, what files he's accessed, you can get all that just by running a couple of quick reports.
My name is Jibu Thomas. I'm the CEO of Sharpcast, enabling a BlackBerry-like experience for consumer media. So a completely seamless, wireless, real-time synchronization experience between mobile devices, PCs, and the web. And we're here to launch our first product, Sharpcast Photos.
What are the opportunities in 2006 and 2007 that you see for Sharpcast?
And
I don't mean this as one of those far-flung, off in the future, but I mean immediately, like this year, what are you looking at?
Yeah, the real thing for us is that, you know, we've built a product that people seem to be responding to very well, and you know, we'll be launching this year. So it's an experiential product, right? I mean, it's sort of like I explained TiVo to my brother. He'll give me 50 reasons why his VCR would do everything my TiVo would do, right? But when you actually use a TiVo, you understand why it's a great product. And so we have a similar challenge in the sense that our product is very experiential. So our big goal is to get it in the hands of people. And then people will make a decision if it's simple enough and seamless enough that they actually want to use these services. And so we're partnering with, you know, people to get this. So there's sort of like awareness is a big factor. But part of it is making it easy for people to use the product. So partner with companies so that when you buy a cell phone, you don't have to do anything. It just you just take the picture and the application is preloaded, right? Things like that. So creating the right partnerships, creating awareness, and you know, building a great product. I mean, we've been working on it for a couple of years now, and now we just have to get it to market.
Theodore Agronaut, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of CEONEX. Most people think of websites in terms of applications that users can use online or in terms of a company brochure that is expressing what the company does, showcasing its services, its products.
What's wrong with that? I mean, that does seem right. So logical, you know?
The problem is that they take the user out of the equation. They forget about the user. Meaning that in order for the user to, A, understand and comprehend what is being shown to him properly, the user needs to have an open mind. In order for the user to have an open mind, the user needs to have a positive experience as they're entering the site. In order for them to have a positive experience, you really need to be thinking about what is it that you're communicating to the user visually? What is it that you're communicating to the user perceptually? How fast is your site loading would be one of the things that you could talk about perceptually. And ultimately, what is the emotional connection that you're establishing with the user?
Now, you're not talking about something just wacky and way avant-garde in terms
no.
of trying to do something new. You're talking about very subtle techniques and very subtle ways of drawing people into a website, right?
That plus making sure that as part of any web design initiative, you really have a process for quantifying data about your users. Quantifying data not from your weblogs perspective, which people are already doing. You analyze your weblogs, you see people are clicking on this page or are not clicking on that page, and you want to improve that, and you just, you know, basically pointing your finger into the sky trying to change things. What I'm talking about is a quantitative process and methodology of actually extracting information from existing users in a laboratory setting, pretty much. Analyzing how the user uses your website so that you can improve upon that, you know, ever-elusive emotional connection.
Ken Gullickson, I'm a general partner of Morgan Thaler Ventures in Menlo Park.
What is your focus with the firm?
My primary focus is in software and internet-based companies. In fact, the last investment I did showcased itself a demo last year, a company called Digital Railroad, which is an internet-based service for professional photographers to manage, market, and sell their work.
I mean, it's
got to
be
happy with it.
It's got to be among one of the sexiest things to be a VC in. I mean, this is what is on the top of everyone's mind when they open the paper. They want to know about Google, they want to know about Yahoo, and all the companies that are associated with those search terms.
Well, frankly, that's made our job a lot harder in the last, I would say, about 2 years. Between, 2001 and really into 2004, life as a VC was pretty easy because not very many people were focused on startups, and it was easier to kind of cut through the noise. These days, it's actually a pretty noisy environment.
When did it start getting noisy?
Early 2004 is when it started, and it's kicked up in earnest in 2005.
Some of the voices at Demo 2006 in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net.